$1,000. Now, text the keyword BILLS to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BILLS to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
A big good morning to everybody on a Wednesday morning. It is October the 10th. 2018. Hope you're all doing well. Michael Riedel, Joe Bartley, you guys good? You have nothing to crow about today? No great excitement in the Trump administration?
I mean, listen to Justice Kavanaugh taking his rightful place
on the Supreme Court. Unlike Clarence Thomas, he actually asked questions in a lot of them yesterday. His first day on the job, I found that interesting. He wasn't shy. He jumped right into the cases and challenged the lawyers.
That's because he's a very fine judge, should be on the Supreme Court. Even though the cases he's dealing with sound incredibly boring.
Well, a lot of them are.
Can you tell what those three cases are about?
No.
A lot of them are.
But it's going to be interesting, though. Is Justice Roberts, given the controversy surrounding the Kavanaugh nomination,
the answer is yes.
Is he going to bring cases that are really going to be incendiary?
No.
Or is the Supreme Court going to have a year of just kind of granular sorts of
I don't think they'll do either. I think that Roberts is going to drift towards the middle and become the swing vote.
He is the swing vote.
Yeah.
He is.
Roberts is going to be
the swing vote. I don't know about drifting, but he's the swing vote right now. He upheld Obamacare.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But I hope he does not become like a suitor or somebody like that who, you thought you got a Republican or a conservative in there, and then he drifts too far to the left. Sandra Day O'Connor did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to happen to Kavanaugh. Hey, our big three, every one of these items you could say, I didn't see that one coming. Here comes Hurricane Michael, major Cat 4, barreling toward the Florida panhandle. Also in the big three, Nikki Haley ups and quits.
Yeah, that was
didn't
a shock.
See that coming.
She literally quit about 2 minutes after we went off the air
yesterday. The nerve of her. Didn't she know we had a show to do here?
Natalie, didn't you get in touch with her to say, come on, do it
Nikki?
Like, we needed a segment at 9:50. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. Really, it did happen as soon as we went off the air. And I was shocked. I was like, what did I miss? What?
It didn't happen until 11. It was supposed
to
happen.
They announced it earlier.
No, but the rumor came out.
The tweet came out.
I thought there was going to be like a hashtag Me Too movement. She was like a New Jersey school teacher.
No, stop it. Rounding out the big three.
Some ethics questions about her.
There were. Use of airplanes, private planes. That came out from some liberal Democratic rag.
Of course. The New York Times? The New York Times?
I don't know. I forget. Someone came up with the story that she was using some private airplanes. And rounding out our big three, they came close, but the ninth inning comeback fell short. So the Red Sox eliminate the Yankees in the Bronx 3-1. 4-3 was the final score. So, there's more questions than answers about Nikki Haley. And the guy who's got all the answers for us this morning, Connor Finnegan, ABC News correspondent. He's over at the State Department. Good morning to you, Connor.
Good morning, guys.
So we didn't see this coming, did you?
No. And the short answer for me here at the State Department is that very few people in this building, if anyone really, saw this coming either. I actually talked to one source who said that the bureau within the department that sort of is the liaison between the State Department and the U.S. mission at the United Nations still hadn't gotten an official resignation confirmation from her team as of about, noon yesterday. Really something that was not expected. I think many people sort of thought that she would go out on her own terms, possibly go out after 2 years, but that announcement yesterday morning was clearly not expected by many people.
But we have not, Connor, seen the last of Nikki Haley. Len and I were discussing this morning that she could well become the first woman elected to the White House. I mean, she's got popularity, charisma, intelligence. Her career is by no means over.
No, by any stretch of the imagination. And I think for her, that's sort of why she's leaving now. She leaves on good terms with Trump, with the Trump administration, with Trump's supporters. She can go on to be successful, make some money in the private sector, which is what she did before she ever entered politics. And she's also got that, strong, solid trajectory. She was a state representative on the local level, a very popular governor in South Carolina through some emotional and difficult times. And now on the world stage at the United Nations, she's got really strong foreign policy credentials, which is sometimes difficult for a lot of governors to do before they jump to the White House. You know, and as I said, she's also got the support of many Democrats. It was interesting to see Bob Menendez, of all people, the top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, actually praise her in his press statement yesterday, calling her, you know, a strong voice for human rights on the world stage.
We're on with Connor Finnegan, ABC News correspondent, the State Department. I haven't heard anything negative about her at all. But, you know, the story did drift out yesterday that there was some question about her use of private planes. Is that a big issue or is that just noise?
I think it's a little bit of noise. I think, you know, it was a Office of Government Ethics filing report, very standard for any government official to have to reveal some of their finances, any gifts that they've received. And she had gotten these flights, but she had listed all of them. She'd done everything sort of by the book, filed all the proper paperwork. What was more interesting to me in those reports was the amount of credit card debt, the mortgages that she has, the fact that she's actually kind of strapped for cash, which can give you an idea of why someone would want to leave government service after about a decade of it to make some more money, you know, selling books or speaking on the speaker circuit. She also has two younger kids. I think they're both in their teens or so. She's got to make some money, put them through college and everything like that.
Connor, can you sort of give us some insight into her relationship with Trump? Because, you know, Trump has had some rather complex relationships with other people around him, and they have not turned out so well. But she's going out in a classy way, and he really seems to respect her. How does she handle this guy that most people have no idea how to handle?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I think more than any other cabinet official, she has done it so deftly. She has managed to separate herself from him on certain issues, right? At the United Nations, she's talked very tough on Russia in a way that the president is reluctant to do, to put it nicely. She's also gone out of her way to speak up for human rights, something that the president is also pretty quiet on in general. But there's never been that gap. If you remember the former Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, whenever he would say anything, it seemed like Trump would contradict him on North Korea, on Iran, on climate change. And that's why Trump, at the end of the day, fired him, is because there was this very public gulf between the two of them that made it very apparent to you know, foreign dignitaries around the world who would meet with Tillerson, that he didn't speak for the president. Nikki Haley, though, I think, because, as you said, she has that charm. She's a politician. And at the end of the day, I think the president knew that she didn't need him. She didn't need this job. But she was so effective for him because she was that strong voice, because, you know, she was a woman in a cabinet where there were very few women. And she could then, you know, be given that leeway to do the things she wanted. I think it also helped her, frankly, that she was in New York and not in Washington, D.C., not sort of caught up in all the chaos of the day-to-day down here at the White House.
All right, who replaces Nikki Haley? She's going to stand a job in another couple of months. Then who do you think Trump picks?
Well, classic Trump fashion, he said last night that he has a short list of five people, that he will not tell us who those five people are, except for one person, and I think that's important. The leading candidate, I would say, at this point is Dina Powell, who now works in New York at Goldman Sachs. She spent about a year in the Trump administration as the deputy national security advisor. So she's got, you know, the relationships with some of the Trump family, Ivanka and Jared in particular. She's also close with Nikki Haley. Interestingly, Nikki Haley posted a photo of the two of them over the weekend in South Carolina with their husbands on a boat. Sort of, you know, reading the tea leaves of her Twitter feed yesterday, it seemed like that was a tacit endorsement of Powell as her successor. And the president has said Nikki Haley will be involved in that process. The only thing that's going against Powell, two things I should say. Number one, does she want the job? You know, she left after a year mainly because she was sort of burnt out by how chaotic the White House had been. The second question is, you know, does the more nationalist Steve Bannon wing of the White House allow her to get the job. It's rumored that John Bolton is not so much of a fan. Chief of Staff John Kelly may not be much of a fan. But at the end of the day, she's the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. So she's in New York, and she's not, you know, directly working with those people in the same way that a Secretary of State would, for example.
All right, Connor Finnegan, thanks for the insight. Some good stuff. ABC News correspondent at the State Department. Thanks, Connor.
Thank you, guys.
All right, how about Ivanka?
The people that know, there's nothing to do with nepotism, but I want to tell you, the people that know that Ivanka would be dynamite. But, you know, I'd then be accused of nepotism, if you can believe it.
Well, you're accused of everything. I can believe that.
You know what this means, though? Power has now accrued to walrus face John Bolton. With Nikki Haley out of
walrus
the picture.
Walrus face. Is that his official?
Walrus that's his face
Secret
John
Service
Bolton.
Code
he looks like a, does he look walrus like a walrus face. With that mustache of his?
He does. I am the walrus.
He is now going to be in charge of foreign policy in the Trump administration.
All right. There you have it. Coming up next, the Yankees lose. Oy. So close last night at the stadium. And don't miss your chance at $1,000. That's coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. iHeartRadio. That makes it even easier to listen to all your favorite podcasts. No need for another app. All the biggest names in podcasting can be found in the iHeartRadio app. Literally, thousands of them, including the world-famous Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning podcast.
My favorite one.
Yeah, all available for free. Now your favorite radio app can be your favorite podcast app. Download or open the free iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab to start exploring. Let's explore what traffic's doing. Here's Bernie Viter.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So this just in, Len. Are you ready for this?
I am. Race what do you got? Yourselves. Breaking news?
Mike Bloomberg.
Yes.
Who used to be a Republican.
Yeah.
Has changed his affiliation. He has re-registered as a Democrat.
Hmm.
Which tells me.
Tells you what?
He's got an eye on the White House and running against Trump.
Well, he posted this on Instagram, him filling out the form. I know he was a lefty. Did you know he's a lefty? He said.
Well, yeah, and he is now. He's a Democrat.
Yeah, well, because he says he's signing up. He's re-registered as a Democrat because we need Democrats to provide the checks and balance our nation so badly needs.
Here's a prediction. There you go, pal. Here's a prediction. If he runs, if he's nominated, and in those debates, little old Mike Bloomberg, Donald Trump is going to eat him for breakfast
really?
And spit him out for lunch.
Bloomberg's good on his feet.
No, Trump will
really?
Trump will beat him
well,
up.
His nickname will be Little Mike Bloomberg.
It'll right? be Little Mike. Trump's going to call him Little Mike. Like little Mike. Little Mike. Little Mike. He's going to be Little Mike. Yeah. Now, Bloomberg, listen, I got a lot of respect for Bloomberg. He was a terrific mayor for the first two terms. Right. Then when he had the third term and he thought he was king, right. That's when I parted ways
with
Bloomberg.
You don't respect the fact that he's a self-made billionaire.
So is Trump.
Yeah, right. yeah, exactly.
Trump
Bingo,
got a,
my point
Trump
exactly.
got $1 million from his dad, and he parlayed it into billions of dollars.
Hey, well, if you didn't read, I guess you did read the Times piece.
Who read the Times piece? It was 8,000 million words.
Well, let me give you a little tip. That $1 million that he got from his father, it was $432 million. But why quibble over a few shekels here or there?
It's going to be interesting, though, and this, I think, is a bit of a problem for the country. In all seriousness, Lynn, to have oligarchs and these mega rich people, these billionaires, Trump and now Bloomberg, running for office. I mean, I do think we've got to have some politicians who don't come from privilege. We've got to have some people who are more connected to working folk like you and me.
Like Barack Obama. Yeah.
Well,
regular guy, you know.
Well, no, but he was part of the organizer. He was part of the global elite. So I take him out of the picture.
Because he went to an Ivy League school.
Exactly. He was part of the global
elite. So who's
elite.
The last everyman? Gerald Ford? I don't know.
Gerald Ford. Well, Jimmy Carter. I mean, a peanut
Carter,
farmer.
Peanut, well, that's well, still a
know,
peanut
you know,
farmer.
You know who's an everyman? Ronald Reagan. Came from absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Came from nothing.
Good but actor. Those,
and a very good president.
Great actor.
Are you kidding me? You don't think Ronald Reagan was a great president?
You know, we told the people we're going to talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox, and you're going
you don't want to answer the
on
question.
Your Republican screeds again. Yeah, fabulous. He was one of the all-time greats.
Give us a call here, 1-800-321-0710. Do you think Ronald Reagan was a great president? 1-800-321-0710. Len can't even come out on the question.
So last night was game four. The Yankees were trailing 4-0 in the game. Well, here's the game they had to win.
Mm-hmm.
They clawed back in the ninth inning. They're down 4-1. And then they get the first two guys on base. And what happens? Giancarlo Stanton, who's going to be their big slugger, He strikes out, and he just hears the boos from the fans.
I mean, we were right there with an opportunity, but either way, a loss is a loss, and we're in the same boat. Just got to look to what we can build from the season and use it as fuel for next year.
And the manager, Aaron Boone, was asked about Stanton's performance.
Obviously had some chances, some chances where he could have made a big difference with a big hit or whatever, and it just didn't happen in this series.
Well, they scratched together a couple of runs, and that was 4-3. Mm-hmm. They got two on. Gleyber Torres at the plate.
Swung on, tapped down to third, slowly hit, charging as Nunez. He fires to first, stretch, got him! What a play by Pierce! And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees. However, Aaron Boone might challenge this call.
So they're jumping around. They say, wait, we got to go look at the replay. Okay, go jump again. So the replay was right. It was by an eyelash. He was out at first. End of season. That was the call. We thank WEEI for the radio call. And so now it's Boston against Houston, which truly are the two best teams in the American League. So
right.
That could be a hell of a seven-game series.
I think the flaw for the Yankees this season was the pitching.
I guess you listened to my earlier report when I said the starting pitching was going to be a question mark, and that's what really kind of did them in.
You hit it on the head, Michael. That's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now the pitching was weak, and without.
So now you support everything he says, or otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely, he's a great baseball analyst.
Such a lemon. You really are, Barlin.
Wait, here comes the pitch, Len, and whoa, and it's to right field. And no,
it's called a foul ball.
It's a foul ball.
It's out of play.
If it hit the post, it would have been in.
I
was about to say, you're always stepping over my line.
It's a hockey phrase, hit the post.
Yeah, Mr. Sports, Michael Riedel. Time for the latest news headlines for that. Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Well, Hurricane Michael has strengthened to a Category 4 storm ahead of landfall later today in the Florida Panhandle. It's a big one, packing sustained winds of 130, close to 140 miles an hour, and there's the potential for 12-foot storm surges. The governor of Florida, Rick Scott, says that could be deadly.
This storm will be life-threatening and extremely dangerous. This storm will bring torrential rain to most of the panhandle in Big Bend, which means flooding will be a major issue.
Now, a lot of people who live in that area say, we've been through these things before, but this is one that could be in the record books. President Trump says electing Democrats to Congress would plunge the nation into chaos. During a rally in Iowa, he says the only reason to vote for a Democrat is if you're tired of winning. He also took some aim at his favorite Democrats, like Senator Cory Booker and Senator Richard Blumenthal. Listen to this.
I should be really quiet, really, really quiet on the bad ones. On the bad ones. Like, we won't talk about Cory Booker, who ran Newark into the ground.
Love it. Love it.
Wait till you hear what he says about Blumenthal.
We won't talk about Da Nang Dick. Who tried to convince people for 15 years that he was a great war hero. They were going down left. They were going down right. Right? You know who that is, Blumenthal.
All right, there you go.
So you don't want to talk about Trump's
characterizations
over his career, do you?
No. I also want to say that there will be another Democratic candidate that the president may target, and that is former Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He has re-registered as a Democrat, so he may be serious about running for president.
We just broke that news there.
Yeah, we had that already, Joe.
It was in the 7 o'clock news, but I know you don't listen to it.
Wait a second. You had it at 7?
Yes.
Oh,
I didn't hear it.
We were in a bathroom.
Really?
Okay, that's all right.
You want to hear some more Riedel play-by-play from opening day?
Joe Bartlett, Mr. Cellophane around here.
All right, look, at the family of the limo driver involved in that deadly crash upstate believes that he was given an unsafe vehicle and was unaware of it. A lawyer for the driver's family released a statement asking the public not to rush to judgment on Saturday's crash that killed 20 people. And here's a good story. Two NYPD officers being credited with helping to save a baby who had stopped breathing at a Brooklyn subway station. Officers Charles Edwards and Damian Graham were nearby Monday evening when they heard the father of a baby cry out for help at the Franklin Avenue station in Bed-Stuy. One-year-old Amir had stopped breathing after suffering a seizure as the result of a high fever, so they administered CPR, rushed him to the hospital. He started breathing again and will make a full recovery.
Cool.
Happy days, just like that squirrel we were talking about yesterday.
Resuscitated squirrel.
When we come back, Melania Trump is out of the witness protection program. She's talking to ABC What is she going to say about Stormy
Daniels? Wow, they're going to ask her about Stormy?
Exactly. We'll get into that when we come back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000. $1,000 in your bank account is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic from Bernie Viter.
Well, Michael, it's going to be interesting coming up Friday night at 10 o'clock on ABC. Correspondent Tom Yamos has an exclusive interview with Melania Trump.
Yeah.
And apparently, the no questions are off limits. So
yeah. Stormy Daniels.
Asked about infidelity, asked about all kinds of issues. We'll get to that in just a second.
The mushroom? Do they ask about the mushroom?
I doubt that. I'm going to say that's
questions
right.
Questions are off limits.
I draw the line on vegetables or legumes or whatever you call it. Hey, now, this story is crazy with this old lawyer, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is it's kind of a touching story, I have to say. So the self-described oldest trial lawyer at 100 and Center Street down here, not too far from us, he gave it up on Tuesday in Manhattan Supreme Court because the judge declared a mistrial, citing his declining ability to defend his client. This guy has been... He's been there at Center Street for 67 years. He's now 87. His name is Leonard Levinson. And he just couldn't follow the case. And Judge Ruth Pickles, I don't think you should be trying cases anymore, she told Leonard Levinson, urging him to step down as lead defense lawyer. He was defending a nanny, Marianne Benjamin Williams, who was accused of stuffing a balled-up baby wipe down the throat of an infant in her care, nearly killing the kid. Mm. And Levinson, 61 years he's been practicing, he looks up at the judge and he said, after reflection, I kind of agree with you. These things creep up on you as you get older. You don't realize it.
Wow.
You don't hear as well.
So she said,
you should be able to identify with this guy, Len.
What are you talking about? Natalie, you know, I'm making an attempt to be nice. So now I wasn't going to read this email I got from a listener.
Oops.
Because I didn't know what it meant. But Junior says, why does your partner sound like he praises ignorance? Now, what is he talking about?
He praises ignorance?
You praise ignorance. So I guess not a fan of yours. So why are you picking on me?
I'm kidding. You are as sharp.
Oh, sharp.
You
as
are
a
as sharp as a as a,
the, as a what?
As the dullest knife in the drawer.
But
this is kind of a sad story, though, if you think about it.
They declared a mistrial because he couldn't keep up, right?
He couldn't keep up. He just couldn't follow it. But, you know, it's very sad because she did it publicly in front of everybody in the court, and he agreed that he does have to step down.
By the way, one other note before we get to the Melania stuff. We do have a couple of sound bites now that ABC is releasing, but not the juiciest stuff.
Yeah.
But we do got some stuff. Do you hear about the story? This a personal assistant worked for David Solomon, who was the head of Goldman Sachs, and apparently stole much of his wine.
Yeah,
he stole
over a million point two
of Solomon's wine and was due in court to plead guilty.
Mm.
So he stole the wine from the from the boss and was going to plead guilty. They're waiting for him in court. He jumps out of the 34th floor window at the Carlisle Hotel.
Wow.
End of story. He said the hotel staff was alerted by his sister. So they go up to the room. They force open the door. He's sitting naked and sitting on the windowsill. He just smiled at them and jumped.
And then went.
Is that an awful story?
I hope he drank the wine before he went.
That guy's name was Nicholas DeMeyer, 41 years old. All right, so Melania sits down with Tom Yamas of ABC. And as part of the interview, and they say in the interview, you agree with no preconditions. Mm-hmm. You know there'll be some tough questions. Well, ABC has released a couple of sound bites, and one of them has to do with, I guess, some people want to approach Melania about partnering on some social causes, but they're not doing it because of the politics.
Right.
No, they don't like the president's politics. So she talked about that issue.
It's sad to see that organizations and foundations I want to partner with choose not to because of administration. And I feel they choosing the politics over helping others.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
I kind of want to know what she thinks about Stormy Daniels, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so ABC did release a couple of clips about the Me Too movement.
I support the women, and they need to be heard. We need to support them. And, you know, also men, not just women.
Do you think men in the news that have been accused of sexual assault, sexual harassment, have been treated unfairly?
You need to have a really hard evidence that, you know, that if you're accused of something, show the evidence.
All right, so she's obviously defending Kavanaugh in that case there. One other question about the Me Too movement.
I do stand with women, but we need to show the evidence. You cannot just say to somebody, I was, you know, sexually assaulted, and or you did that to me, or because sometimes the media goes too far, and the way they portray some stories, it's not correct. Okay. It's not right.
But here's what you really want. So, but he
did Stormy ask, Daniels, hello.
Well, apparently, according to this is the Daily Mail, they claim they got the interview. From the first lady was asked about the state of her marriage, her husband's infidelity, and then, of course, her views on the Me Too movement. Apparently, they have the questions. The question was, you're not the first lady to have to deal with your husband's infidelities. Has this put a strain on your marriage? He asked the first lady. Well, that's obviously you want to.
Well, there's a little bit of a difference. And, you know, Trump denies any of these infidelities. But if they did occur, they occurred before he was in the White House. Whereas with Bill Clinton, it was happening not only in the White House, it was happening in the Oval Office.
So you know for sure that there's been no infidelity once he's been in the White House. He's too busy playing golf and making America great again.
I don't really think Trump is fooling around the White House with an intern in a blue dress the way Bill Clinton did. Do you?
Maybe not, but you know for sure that he's been on the up and up ever. He's been a good boy ever since he's been president. Okay, that's fine.
It's my hunch.
You believe that?
What do you think?
I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see what Mueller comes up with. She's asked during the interview why she wore the I Really Don't Care Do You jacket.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
When she went to visit immigrant children who had been separated at the border, but they don't have the answers. So the mirror did not get the answers.
They got the questions.
Apparently the questions are kind of titillating. They certainly sound interesting. And then this must be an ABC thing because Yamas pulls out the old Barbara Walters line and asked, well, the way it's worded, he asked the third Mrs. Trump what the biggest misconception is about her. What that answer is.
That's interesting.
I mean, she just, I don't know, what would people...
The biggest misconception about...
What would be the biggest misconception?
Melania Trump.
Come on, you're a woman, Natalie, help us. What would the biggest misconception be
about Melania Trump?
Well,
Melania.
That maybe she doesn't talk up to her husband, that she doesn't have her own opinions.
Oh,
I think some
it.
People might question her intelligence. I think she's a very intelligent woman.
Yeah.
No, I think
I think she's quiet and she's going to say what she wants to say when she wants to say
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's great.
She doesn't fly off the handle the way other people in the family do.
No, and she's plotting out her course. That's good for her.
So you think she'll stay with him?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
she'll
yes
stay with him. Least. She's not going to divorce him while
he's in
the White House.
I'm saying once he leaves the White House, it's adios. Although that's what they said about Hillary and Bill. So,
well,
and look at them, happy couple.
Oh my God! On tour, Slick Willie and Crooked Hillary coming to a theater near you. Ugh.
They must have some warm, cozy relationship. Yeah, it just feels that.
Throw the lamp at him again.
Coming up next, who are the nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the music, and then we'll ask Riedel if he has any idea who any of these artists are.
Oops.
We'll let you listen into this. And a chance to win $1,000 coming up at 8:05. Right now, let's check out the traffic. Here's Bernie Viter.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We were just talking about Melania Trump. She's giving an interview to ABC that will air on Friday. And we had a little preview of some of the questions that she
was asked. Know the questions. They didn't put the juicy answers, such as his infidelity and
Stormy Daniels.
Wore that jacket.
Yep.
That said, I don't care to you. You know who Soledad O'Brien is, right?
Yeah.
She's been around forever. She's very, she has a big presence on Twitter. She just tweeted out something about, you know, why not ask her about why she was a birther with no evidence, because she went after Obama the way her husband did.
And also, I think she's got some chain migration going on there, Melania, because she got her parents in.
Yeah, well.
Through chain migration.
She did. So anyway, I think, obviously, that'll stir up a lot on social media, but she really, it's pretty interesting that here she is so far into the administration, and this is her first real... I mean, she had a sit-down with Fox, but, you know...
Yeah, that's...
They weren't going to ask her about...
Stormy Daniels.
Well, they said her, there's no questions off-limits, so, I don't, you know... Anyway, this should
I think she can handle herself.
Oh, I do, too. I think she'll come out well. I think her popularity is clearly much higher than his, don't you? I would think so.
I don't know about
wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't you think, Natalie, wouldn't you think if you did a popularity of Melania that she would come out higher than
she's pretty,
her
but she's a little boring.
Well, yeah, but I
as far as people's opinions of her, I don't think a lot
like
of people. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people have a negative opinion on her at all.
I'm kind
of,
you know, I mean, I like her all, and all that, but you know, she's not controversial in any way.
Well, exactly, which is why her opinion poll would be high on her.
Bring back Hillary. That was fun.
She has no controversy at the moment.
Yeah, let's rank the first ladies. Let's see. Nancy Reagan, Michelle Obama.
Abigail Adams.
We'll have a fun time here. Hey, I'm Martha Washington. All right, name that tune. So here we had the nominations
for the
2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, I'm going to play the groups, and you just tell me who they are.
You know I'm not good on this kind of music.
But I'm a creep.
Name of the song is Creep.
Why are you laughing?
Who doesn't know that? That's Radiohead. Who doesn't know that?
You didn't know that.
I had no
either.
Idea.
I had no clue.
Liar.
I
had
none.
I knew this song. I don't know if I would have named the artist right off the top of my head either.
How about this one?
Little Richard?
They can sing it all?
Did you find the tune there?
Oh, the lyrics were great there, Natalie. That was
Can you hum that? Can you hum that tune, Natalie? Can you hum that tune?
Name of the song is Killing, and of course, as everybody knows, that's Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Now, you heard of this guy. This says the name of the song is Mama Said Knock You Out.
Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out.
That Lionel Richie?
Knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out.
Oh, that's a great lyric. Where did you get this?
You're picking the entire song selection of Light FM. Go ahead, keep going.
This ain't Light FM.
How can they put these kind of songs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Mama Said Knock You Out? What kind of lyric is that?
So far
the song
had,
isn't going on, the artists are going
So far
in.
We've had Creep, we've had Killing, and Mama Said Knock You Out. That was LL Cool J.
Oh, I've heard of him.
How about this one? You know what? I've never, ever, ever heard of this group in my entire... I've heard the other names. Never heard of this one. Name of the song is Kick Out the James.
Kick out James.
Oh my God!
You wrote "Kick Out the James" on this sheet.
Oh no! This
kick
is
out the jams.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel out of touch in the morning.
I have never ever heard of the group MC5. Ever has Anthony heard of them? Probably. How about this group? Here's another big nominee.
It's the time.
Oh, I know this.
Of the season.
Oh, I know this. I know this, but I can't place it. I love this song.
Give it to me.
The Zombies.
Oh, the Zombies. Yeah,
this
I like
group.
The Zombies.
Pour some sugar on me.
That's Def Tiger.
Def Leppard. No,
Def Leppard, I mean. I'm sorry.
Who told you that? Did someone give you a hint?
No. I knew there was an animal.
Well, you heard of this one. I've seen her. Nominated as an individual, but she's in.
Stevie Nicks has not been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet.
What's her group, Natalie? She's in a group.
Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood. You don't know Fleetwood Mac?
She's in, but not as an individual. She's a nominee. Right. How about? Oh, I know this one.
Now with it, in the shade.
The reason I know this.
This seems so funny to me for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is not rock and roll. This is
Devo.
It's Devo.
Devo.
The Red Hat. Remember?
The only reason I know is I called Janice Huff, the weather lady. I call her Diva, and she calls me Devo, which I didn't know what she meant, and that's who it is. Now, you heard of this artist nominated.
Diana Ross? No, that's Janet Jackson, I bet.
Absolutely. Someone's feeding you info in your ear. And this is... That's The Cure.
Tell me something good.
Oh, I like
Chaka
that
Khan. So those
I love
nominee.
Chaka Khan, Through the Fire.
There you go.
Chaka Khan. All
you
right. Coming up next, Trump was firing up the troops in Iowa yesterday and taking aim at Cory Spartacus Booker. We've got the highlights from that fun rally. That's coming up. But right now, it is 8 o'clock.